Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 24. The book of Genesis, chapter 24. Well, Seth, it's been good to be here. We've really enjoyed the services and all the preaching that we've got to hear. I've enjoyed every message that I've heard, got to sit and listen to, and these men that I've got to know, Brother Keck, Brother Martin, have been a blessing to me. And the fellowship here, as always, is really a lot more than we deserve, and the way you're good to us, and we appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I mean that, and I hope that you'll pray for us, that we'll get the job done the Lord will give us to do before He comes. In Genesis chapter 24, look at verse 1. Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old, and well stricken in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, Thou shalt not take a wife unto my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. Now skip on down to verse number 15. And what's happened between those verses is that the servant goes looking for a wife for Isaac. And he says, Lord, how in the world am I going to find out which girl you want to be his wife? He said, Lord, give me a little sign. I want to pray. And when this girl comes up and asks to get to draw water, I'm going to ask her for a drink. And if she says, I'll draw some for your camels, then I'll know that's a sign from you that she's the one. In verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camel. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets for a hand of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now over in verse 50 of the same chapter. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her, and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with them, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. And Isaac came from the well, way of the well, Lahairah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes, and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. There's the first woman that smoked in the Bible. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I want to preach to you this evening on the subject, how a bride got to her wedding. Here in this story here, in the Word of God, we find an amazing truth as you do in many Old Testament stories, by the way of types and figures and shadows, as most of you know, figuring and picturing New Testament truths. Now, one of the sad things about a lot of Christians of our generation is they have a constant preoccupation with the New Testament and almost totally ignore the Old Testament. Matter of fact, up home, we still have a lot of people that call it the New Bible and the Old Bible. And when they say the New Bible, they ain't talking about the New Version, they're talking about the New Testament. And when they say the Old Bible, they're talking about the Old Testament. A lot of them have the idea that you just forget about the Old Testament and strictly pay attention to the New Testament. But as somebody well said one time, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And there's many things hidden in types and shadows in the Old Testament that come to light in the study of the New Testament. Now, this story that I read to you tonight is just such a story. Now, by way of introduction, you've got to understand the four major characters of this story. First of all, I introduce to you Abraham. Abraham was a great man, the greatest man of his day. And Abraham, in this story, pictures God the Father. Secondly, I want to introduce to you Isaac, his son, his only begotten, a picture, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham pictures God the Father. Isaac, of course, pictures God the Son. In this story, Abraham took a servant, and it said it was his servant that ruled over all that he had. This servant's name is not mentioned in Genesis 24, for a good reason. And this servant, of course, is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. Abraham is a picture of God the Father. Isaac is a picture of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The servant here is a picture of the Holy Spirit sent into a far country to get a bride for the son. The bride, of course, is Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, who had never been nowhere, and bless her little heart, she just lived out there all pure and clean all of those years until the servant came and got her and took her to marry Isaac. Now, you're going to see me and you in this thing this evening, and we're going to go on up past where we are and talk about what they were saying about a while ago, how a bride got to her wedding. First of all, I want you to notice the Father's plan. You know, this thing all originated with Abraham. It was every bit his idea. I mean, old Abe was sitting over there one day, and he got to thinking. He said, you know, about time my boy Isaac was getting married. I'm going to pick him out a bride. And it all started in the mind of Abraham. The servant didn't think it up. Rebecca didn't think it up. And brother, our salvation is the very same way. Our salvation originated in the mind of God Almighty. Our salvation didn't come as a result of the Baptist convention getting together and making a resolution and passing it that we felt like this was the way to heaven or that was the way to heaven. Our salvation didn't come as a result of a vote of Parliament. Our salvation didn't come from the United Nations or a bunch of preachers getting together to make up some religious story. Our salvation this evening originated in the mind of God before there ever was a world, before God ever hung the stars in place, before there ever was a moon or a sun. God had our salvation story in His mind. You know, that's a blessing, brother, when you think about that. I'm not a Calvinist. And the Lord have mercy on you if you are. I'm not by any means at all. But I do believe the book. And the book said, brother, you know, we're in Christ and we're chosen in Him. Now, you ain't chosen till you get in Him, but thank God you're chosen after you get in Him. That's better than not being chosen at all. But I'm glad, brother, that the Lord, you know what Abraham done? He said, now I want to get my son a wife. And I don't want my son just marrying any of these little old hussies running around here. He said, I want him to marry a good one.
He said, I want him to go back where I come from and get a wife. He said, when my boy gets married, that's a good lesson for you girls to learn now. These old boys, you know, they'll flirt with you and they'll pass you around, slobber all over you like you was a football. And brother, when they get tired of playing with you, they'll throw you down. When they go get them a wife, they want somebody pure and somebody clean. And you just been like a dirty rag, just washed their hands off and thrown the floor somewhere. And you'd do well to let God pick your mate too. Anyway, the Lord said, or Abraham said here, he said, I'm going to get him a wife. And boy, he said, I'm going to pick out who my boy marries. Now, every one of us ought to have that attitude. But in real life, we ought to want the mate that God wants us to have. We got some in our church been waiting a long time. And every once in a while they say, Brother Danny, I just don't know if the right one's ever going to come along. I say, you better off, brother, without one at all than the wrong one. You better wait on the Lord, son. You better wait on God. If it starts out in puppy love, it'll lead to a dog's life. I'll guarantee it. And brother, did you know, I'd rather be single and look for a man all day than to get married and look for him all night. I'd rather be an old maid than wish I was one. There's a lot of them doing that this evening. But anyway, old Abraham said, I want one, and I'm going to choose him. You know, I'm glad the Lord chooses us. You've heard me tell that story. I think about it every time. I felt that little old boy one day, he come home from school, and he is a-crying, slobbering, slinging snot. And he sat down, and his mama couldn't get him calmed down. And she said, son, what in the world is the matter with you? And the little boy just... and snubbing so bad he couldn't talk. And she called her husband. She said, honey, you're going to have to come home. Something wrong with this young man. I can't get him calmed down. I don't know what's the matter with him. Please come and help me. And so she finally got him calmed down a little bit. And he said, son, what is wrong with you? He said, Mama. He said, Mama, they told me at school that you and Daddy wasn't my real mom and daddy. And I didn't have no real mom and daddy. And I was just a little adopted child. And they said you wasn't my parents. I didn't have no parents. And I was just an adopted baby. And the mother looked, of course, in shock. She had never told him the real truth. And about that time, the husband got there, and he is still crying, slobbering, slinging snot. And they tried to get him calmed down. He wouldn't calm down. She said, honey, you talk to him. He goes over and said, now, son, what is wrong? He said, Daddy, they told me at school that you and Mama wasn't my real mom and daddy, and that I'm just an adopted child, and I didn't have no real mom and daddy like all the other kids at school do. And boy, his daddy looked at his mama, and the mama looked at the daddy. They knew the time had come. They had to tell him. And he said, now listen, son. He said, that's true. He said, I'm sorry we hadn't told you before now. I guess we should have. He said, that's true. You really don't have a real mom and daddy like the other kids do. You're adopted. You really don't belong to us, but we adopted you. But he said, I want to tell you something, son. He said, that day when we went down there to that adoption agency, he said, there's 78 babies lined up in a big old row. And he said, out of all them 78 babies, we looked at them all and we picked you to be our son. And boy, when he said that little boy's eyes lit up. And boy, he got a smile on his face. And the next morning, son, he went into school like he owned the place. And he come in there, and they all started making fun of him. They said, hey, boy, what's the matter with you? Come in here with a smile on your face. His chest stuck out this morning. We just told you yesterday you was adopted and have no real mom and daddy. He said, I want to tell you birds something. He said, I want you to listen to me right now. He said, I don't have no real mom and daddy. I am adopted. He said, my mom and daddy didn't have me like yours did. He said, I want to tell you something right now. He said, when my mom and daddy went to get me, there's 78 babies lined up in a big old row. And he said, of all them 78 babies, that my mom and daddy chose me to be their son. And he said, your mom and daddy had to take what they could get. But he said, my mom and daddy chose me and picked me out. I want to say to you tonight, the devil just has to take whoever he can get. But I'm glad God got a chosen bride, brother. And the Lord picks us out. And the Lord puts a call on us. And we're called to be his bride. The Bible said, brother, we're called as lively stones at making up the body of Christ. It was the Father's plan. You know, I get sick and tired of this outfit trying to make out like we made up the Bible and we made up hell. And we made up heaven. Man, we joined the bandwagon at a very late hour. This thing been going on from time and eternity, brother. God Almighty is the one that started this thing. I just joined up 14 years ago. God started this thing. It's God's plan. That's why we don't have to worry about it fail, brother. When God sets out to do something, He won't stop until it's finished. I'll guarantee you that. ACLU going around griping like there's somebody. Now they're trying to take down all the manger scenes. And all the baby Jesus scenes. And all this. And all the Mary and the wise men. Somebody said not too long ago, they said the reason the ACLU was so dumb like that and so bad against that stuff, because in all of the organization of the ACLU, one would not find three wise men nor a virgin. Did I tell you, brother? Amen. That's right, brother. That's right. I want to tell you, God said, Abraham said here, He said, I'm going to pick him out a wife. You know, it's amazing to me. I don't know how bad y'all are for coon dogs down here. I don't even know if there are any coons in this part of the world. But up home, we got a bunch of people that go coon hunting. And they got coon dogs. And we got some that go bear hunting. And they got bear dogs. And you know a bear dog's real valuable if he'll just chase bears and won't chase nothing else. And boy, they sell them things and they trade them things. They got papers back on them. Their daddy was old Blue Ticks, Tom and old Chase and Sue, and there's his mom, and on back, 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 and on back. They said, listen here, this old Blue Tick here, he's a thoroughbred. He said, I wouldn't let another dog in the fence with him. I wouldn't let a stray near him. And that same bunch of hypocrites will let their daughter go out and get in a car with ever old hop, old hippie hopping, long-haired freak that comes along. And brother, just let them go off and say, well, that's her decision. They care more about their dog marrying the right kind of person than they do their own son or daughter. Abraham wasn't like that. He said, oh, sir. He said, I'm going to get her a good one. He said, I want her one from down where I come from. I know he'll get a good wife to get one down there. So he said, come here, servant. Unnamed servant went over and stood before him. He said, go down there where I used to live. He said, here's your mission. You got a job to do. You understand? And the servant said, yes, sir. He said, you go down there and you find a wife for my son. Now get. Secondly, I want you to notice this evening, the servant's faithfulness. He obeyed the master. You know what that old boy done? That old boy got together his camels, and he got together everything he had in need of, and he got the bags packed and the clothes and everything. He said, all right, head him up. Move them out. Here we go, camels, down the road. And boy, they took off over yonder to Abraham's home country and started going down the road. I don't know how long it took them to get there, but probably a pretty good ways. And Abraham sent him out, and that servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. That servant was only in Mesopotamia for one reason. That was to get a bride and bring that bride back to Abraham's son, Isaac. The Holy Spirit of God's in this world for one reason. To call out a bride and take that bride home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brother, he came down there and now he had the task of finding the right girl. And so he got down there and he began to pray. He said, Lord, there's no telling how many good girls live down here. How am I going to know which one's the right one? And he said, I know what I'll do. Them preachers ain't started preaching against it too much yet. I'm going to ask the Lord for a sign. And so he got down and he said, Lord, would you give me a sign? I don't have no other way of knowing. God, you're going to have to help me. He said, Lord, when the first girl comes up here, I'm going to ask her for some water. And if she says, I'll give you some water and your camel's water, then I'll know right then that that's the girl that you have chosen to be Isaac's wife. In Jesus' name, and he hadn't done said amen yet until here come Rebecca from the Sunnybrook farm. And boy, here she comes, whispering them. And there she comes with her pitcher on her shoulder. Oh, she didn't know what was in store for her. Little did she know how God was going to dump one on her, man. I mean, brother, it's just about like me and you was that night we come to get saved. You know that? Oh, we didn't know what we was in for neither. And boy, the servant's eyes got about that big around. And he said, reckon it's her, reckon that's her, reckon God's going to answer my prayer. He said, ma'am, could I have a drink of water? And she said, sure. And gave him some water. And she said, now I'm going to get some for your camel. And he liked to have a heart attack. He just got through. The Bible said he wondered at her whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Ain't that just like us? Lord, now you do this and you do that, and the Lord does it, and we don't believe it. It reminds me of over there in the book of Acts when Peter was in jail, and they come over and locked him up. And they're over here gathered together having prayer that God would get him out of jail. Lord, get Peter out of jail. Lord, I know you can do it. I'm planting a seed faith. God, thou art able. I know you can. About that time, the Lord got him out of prison, and old Peter come down there and start beating at the door. And boy, he's out there. And a little old damsel run knocked open the door, and brother Peter looked up and said, hey, ma'am, it's me. Peter, let me in. She said, whoa, it's Peter. Peter's at the door. They said, shut up now. We ain't got time for no jokes. We're in here praying for Peter to get out of jail. And they said it was a ghost. He finally got convinced that it was Peter. You know how the story went and finally got in. That's the way this old boy done. He said, Lord, did you really do this? I know I just got through asking you, but are you sure this is really you? And so as the story goes, he said, it must be her. And he asked her what her name was, and she told him whose her name was and where she's from. And he said, sit down, honey. And he told her the most amazing story that she'd ever heard. That little girl sat down there on that well's side that day. He said, you ever heard of Abraham? She said, oh, yeah, everybody around here's heard of Abraham. He's that big rich dude who lives well yonder. Everybody's heard of him. He said, that's right. He said, I'm right directly under him. And he said, I'm his servant. You ain't gonna believe this, honey. I've got some news for you. He said, God up in heaven has chosen you to be the bride of Isaac, richest man on earth, son. She said, you gotta be kidding me. You ever heard of Isaac? Oh, sure, he's in all the teeny bop magazines. We hardly ever get them. All the girls around here know Isaac. Isn't he the one that's got the camel with the sunroof and the air conditioner, and every time he puts on his brakes, he's got his initials in the back tail lights, and he's cool. I've heard about him. And he said, guess what, dearie? You're going to get to be his wife. And she said, I thought the best thing I could ever do is see him on TV if they ever invent it. He said, you don't have to worry about that. You just come right on with me, hon. You're going to get to marry that boy. And her heart began to pound. And boy, she probably wondered if it was really true. I remember when I was an 18-year-old boy at Nebo Baptist Church in McDowell County when the Holy Ghost came my way and told me the most amazing story that I'd ever heard. He told me how a low-down sinner like me could have fellowship with God. He told me how I could be a part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told me how he could take me out of nothing and drop me in the middle of everything. And brother, my heart began to pound. I had no direction. I had no purpose in life. I had nothing to live for. And blessed be your heart this evening. The Holy Ghost set me down and said, son, you can go with me. And you can be a part of the bride. And brother, that servant began to tell. I want you to know, brother, that's a job of the Holy Ghost of God in this world. I want to say this evening, every Christian has the Holy Ghost. Everybody that's saved, the Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body of Christ. There ain't no such thing as getting the Father, and then 2 weeks later getting the Son, and then 3 weeks later getting the Holy Ghost. You either got all three of them, or you ain't got neither one of them. They're one and three and three and one. You can't separate God. You know what he done? He said, excuse me here. You ever seen anything like that? She said, I seen one in a Sears catalog. But I never even thought I'd see a shopping center. He said, George. You're kidding. It's mine. Yeah, take it. Little trinket for the water there. He said, here, you ever seen a ring like that? Slip it on your finger, girl. Have some golden earrings. He said, let's go home and talk to your parents. And she said, well, let's go. Now his job was to give her those. You notice all before he left her house, he gave them precious things. You know, I'm glad that we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to enjoy heaven. Ain't you glad the Lord gives you a little taste of it down here? Isn't it a blessing that once in a while he drops you a few handfuls? Isn't it a blessing that when you get saved, the Lord takes out a few jewels and says, oh, we ain't there yet, but here, let's keep you occupied for a while, and dumps you out a big blessing so room that you ain't even able to receive it. And brother, he began to tell her, now you're going to be this way, and you're going to be that way, and you're going to be this way, and you're going to be that way. That's the job of the Spirit of God, is to make you like Jesus Christ. That's his job. Now, when you get saved, the Lord begins to work on you. And his job as the Holy Spirit is to clean you up and conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since you got saved, that's what he's been trying to do. The little kid saying, he's still working on me. That's true. The Lord starts to work on you when you get saved. Now, if you allow him to and let him clean your life up. I remember when I first got saved, the Lord began to deal with me. I had long hair. I listened to rock and roll. And I didn't want to let go of them things. I was one of these smart alecks that when the preacher said something about long hair, I'd get mad. About a month after I say, and I'd say, how long is long? I could slap myself for saying that now. That's what I said. And I said, how do you say something long? How do you say something not long? And this, and boy, you know what I done? It was way down here. I got it cut up to here. I figured I'd split the difference. I said, I'll kind of walk on both sides. And when I'm out in the world, I'll still kind of fit in. And when I'm in the church, I'll still kind of fit in. I found out that didn't work neither. That was worse. I didn't fit in nowhere. And one night I was sitting in church, and the Spirit of God just turned my heart out. I mean, it didn't matter if he preached on tithing. It sounded like long hair to me. I mean, brother, if he talked about hell, it sounded like long hair. And I thought, I was sitting there one night, and something said, you stupid thing. You mean you're going to sit here and get robbed of a blessing? And you're going to miss all the enjoyment and all the excitement and miss the power of God just for that ignorant-looking hair? And I said, you know, you got a point there, Lord. It ain't worth that. And boy, I head down the altar, and there it went. I thought, woo! I'm totally surrendered. Hallelujah. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. And it wasn't a week till bam, he hit me again. And they said, that music's bad too. And I said, well, you can't say it's all bad. Not the soft stuff. And I was stubborn on that too. One night we got in church, and the Lord began to bless. And son, I want you to know I got filled up. I was about to pop. And boy, I went out and had a little OMG then. And I had an old Grand Funk Railroad tape. And come out and stuck that thing in my tape player and turned it up wide open. I was getting a blessing from church, you know. And boy, I'm going to throw that thing in gear and take off. And when I stuck that tape in, something went. My balloon went down. And I thought, what happened? I was happy a few minutes ago. And the Lord said, you got a leak, boy. That popped you. I said, okay, it ain't worth that. Me and the boys took about $500 worth of tapes and albums and records and threw them up in a big old pile and set them on fire and had the glory march. And brother, I want you to know, I said, woo, hallelujah, nothing between my soul and the Savior. And all is clear between me and the Lord. About a week later, he hit me again. On and on. And on. You say, did you ever get sanctified? 1,000 times. Brother, I've been right with the Lord many a time, but I just don't stay right very long. Here it's been 14 years later, and still about every week, bam, he hits me again. That's got to go too. Lord, don't you want to let me have nothing? Good night, I'm doing pretty good compared to him. The Lord said, do you measure themselves by them? You're not wise. You better look at my book. You better, I'm trying to conform you. Listen, if you'll let the Lord work on you and knock the rough edges off you, it won't be such a drastic change at the rapture for you. fire one time had a great big old rock. And he was up on a ladder and he's taking a hammer and a chisel. He's going, bing, bing. Somebody else come up and said, what is that? He said, it's an elephant. That guy said, you got to be kidding me, man. That don't look like no elephant. He said, that's what it is. He said, you tell me how in the world you're going to make an elephant out of that. He said, all you got to do is knock off everything that don't look like an elephant. You know what? When you get saved, the Lord takes the Holy Ghost and begins to chisel on you, and he's going to knock off everything that don't look like Jesus Christ. And if you'll let him, he'll conform you and cause you to be in the image of his son. And then the servant's faithfulness, he caused her to be happy. I want to say something else to you. All he talked about was Isaac. He didn't talk about himself. Servant type of the Holy Ghost didn't get down there and say, whew, pretty good looking. I'll just take care for myself. Phooey on Isaac. Phooey is a Greek term that you might not understand down here. Your third year students might get it. It means to heck with. And he said, phooey on Isaac. That's what I keep wanting to call him, Brother Heck, for some reason. I'm going to say, preach it, Heck! You know, he come up there and he said, I ain't even going to tell her about Isaac. Me and her skip country in this camel here. I'm Eleazar. Do you like to go out with me? And she went back home and said, oh, Mama, I met this man. His name's Eleazar. And he gave me this and he gave me that. And he gave me, and she had never even mentioned that. You know what that would have been? A charismatic. That's right. Oh, she comes home and she says, I got the baptism, I got the Holy Ghost. And all that time, brother, she didn't get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't talk about himself. The Lord said when he is come, he shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me. Amen. All this crowd running around nowadays, all they can talk about is the Holy Ghost this, the Holy Ghost that, the Holy Ghost this. I'll guarantee you one thing, the Holy Ghost ain't around there. He brags on Jesus. He gave her some precious things. I kind of worry about this crowd. Now can you imagine Rebecca sitting there and he says, you just this little taste what you're going to get when we get over there. Have a diamond bracelet. And I can imagine her saying, oh, I bet she said, is it mine? Is it real? Wow! Look at Mama, what I got. Let me tell you something, friend. There's something wrong. Sometimes I get accused of being too emotional. Man, there's something wrong with somebody that God gives them something like that and it don't stir their emotion. You ever met this crowd that says, we believe in being dignified at our church? No, you believe in being petrified. They say, I've heard them say, I shout inwardly. Now how in the name of the Lord do you shout inwardly? What do you want to do that for? One of the biggest tricks the devil's ever pulled on us is when he took the shout and the rejoicing and the enthusiasm and the emotions out of our church service. You know what's wrong with us Baptists? We are scared silly that somebody's going to accuse us of being emotional and overboard and not being able to control ourselves. I've heard them say, well, he's a little immature right now. He'll grow out of it. I sure hope not. I'd sure hate to sit Sunday after Sunday like a knot on a log with my mind a million miles away somewhere and not even believe what the book said and call that being mature. In the Lord. There's something wrong with somebody that don't never show no emotion. Let me tell you something, friend. A church is not supposed to be it's supposed to be a delivery room, not a funeral home. And therein lies the great secret of why young people don't like to go to church. Because nobody likes to go to a funeral. I'm a preacher. I preach funerals a lot. I hate every time I have to go to the funeral home. Them place gives me the heebie-jeebies, man. Here we go. You walk into a funeral home. There sits everybody just still and straight. You walk up out, nobody looks at anybody else. You just sit there like this. In the background, there's this spooky organ music playing. Like a horror movie. You come in, you sit down, you're scared to move. I hate to say this, but that's the very same atmosphere. You feel it. Hold it! They said, too late now! Outside the door, here's the daddy-to-be. He's walking back and forth. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, let it be all right. Oh, Lord. And Sunday's action going on. He's sitting in there asleep. But I tell you, and about that time, boy, there's a big loud scream. New life is born into the world. I will tell you, a real church is the same way. Somewhere up there, Zion travails. And brother, she begins to cry. And the men get in the prayer room. And the ladies join hands. And they say, oh God, give us souls or else we die. Oh God, let people be saved. And boy, about that time, somebody's a-preaching and a-praying. And man, somebody hits the altar. Newborn life is born into the family of God. That's the way a church ought to be. A church ought not to be a funeral home, but a delivery room. Boy, it aggravates the fire out of me. When I go to churches, preacher gets up after I get through and says, well, up. I preached last year somewhere, and he said, Brother Castle really preached, and he was very caustic. I had to go home and look that up to see if he had bragged on me or throwed off on me. Say, what'd he do? He throwed off on me. It embarrassed that guy to death. But the problem was the congregation ate it up. There's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with it. You mean to tell me? You ever seen the TV show, you know, where they pull out somebody's name? Well, oh, Johnny Doe, come on down. About that time, Johnny Doe jumped up in the back, boy. He's a-screaming and a-hollering. He runs down the aisle. He gets right on national TV going just like this. Ah! You ever seen him do that? Emotionalism, your hook. Give me that junk. Everybody sitting there, everybody on TV, watching TV, they're not saying, good night, look at them. Can't he control himself? They're sitting there saying, that lucky dog, I'd love to be in his shoes. Yeah, he ain't even won nothing yet. I just called his name. Football, your foot, brother. I'm telling you this evening. They're out there screaming their fool heads off over a game that's going to be over with in a few hours. Ain't going to make a big deal who wins or who loses 10 years from now, no way. Everybody's going to forget about it. And they're a-hooping and a-hollering, screaming to the top of their lungs, jumping up and down, throwing their hats in the air, slinging popcorn and cokes, knocking people down. Why, they're fanatics, brother. Let me tell you something this evening. Here we sit here on our way to glory. We're going to walk on golden streets, man. Golden streets, brother. We're not going to burn in the fire. If anybody in the world's got a reason to kick the windows out and run the aisles and shout the glory, it's God's people. That's right, brother. Don't you ever let them tell you. You know what some of these preachers remind me of? Talking about them yesterday. It's the preachers that calm the congregations down. I've seen them do it. Say, well, we're getting out of hand here a little bit. They're kind of, put on the brakes. They don't say let her rip. They say slow it down. Afraid somebody might speak in tongues or something. Somebody speaking tongues around here and you never even know it. Don't worry about it, man. Let them go on. They'd be through and the service is over before anybody ever even know this here. You see, they went home, spent the night, told her mom and daddy, I'd call you kids down over here. Told her mom and daddy, they said, now Abraham has chosen your daughter to be the bride of Isaac. Mom and daddy sit there and they had enough sense to say, God's in this thing. It proceedeth from the Lord. They said, it's her decision. Whatever she decides, we'll stand by. And so the final decision rested on Rebecca's shoulders. She had the ultimate responsibility of saying yea or nay. And the servant turned to her and he said, well, what about it? And Rebecca's mama said, now Beck, you going to leave your friends? All your schoolmates? You know the little boy you like down the street here, you know? She said, but Mama, Isaac. Yeah, but this little fellow down the street here, he's a nice boy. And you might want to marry him someday. You make sure you're doing the right thing, Rebecca. What about your education? What about college? What about this and that? And what about me and your dad and the family? And we might need you someday. But Rebecca, you make the decision. And her daddy looked at her and said, wilt thou go? Oh, what a question. Sooner or later, everybody in this church, the Spirit of God will visit you. All you little boys and girls, one day, sometime, somewhere, someplace, the Spirit of the Lord's going to come to you kids. And He's going to say, do you want to go with Jesus? And you're going to decide whether you go or not. You decide! You make up your mind! Mom and Daddy can't do it for you. Grandpa can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. You decide yourself. Rebecca stood there. She looked at her room. And her pictures on her wall. And her bed. And her shoes and her clothes, her closet. She looked at dear dad. She looked in the face of her blessed mother. Said, I will go. That took something for that little girl to say that. You know what the book said? A man don't deny his father, his mother, yea, and his own life also. What a proposition. Are you willing to leave it all? There's a lot of people they'd like to go to be with Jesus and be his wife. But they don't want to leave mom and daddy and their wife, their friends, their home, or school, or job, or their atmosphere, or their sin. But she was willing. She said, I'll go. Well, the day finally comes. He said, hinder me not. You ever heard that language before? Spirit of God being hindered. Send me away to my master. Hey, let's go, Rebecca. Boy, she saddled up and she got her camel ready and she'd never been out of the town before. She'd probably never even been to the big city before. He said, we're starting out on our journey. They put that little old girl on that camel, started heading out. As they began to leave, no doubt there were tears as she left her mom and dad and her home back at the farm. And they saw her friends waving by. And they said, Rebecca, please don't go. Please don't go. She said, I can't let you run my life. I've made this decision. I've got to stand with it. Boy, I remember when that day, I remember when I was right there, don't you? I remember my friends, I was a bunch of boys I run around with all the time. And the very day, next day after I got saved, we started splitting. We started going our separate ways. They said, come on, Danny, you can play ball with us. Come on, Danny, let's go here. Let's go there. I said, boys, can't go that way no more. I'm going this way. I've decided to follow Jesus. And boy, they said, no, come back. Come back. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I never went back to them. Hey, some other brothers on drugs tonight, been in jail, been married 2 or 3 times, and in an office mess ever was. I'm glad I made the right decision and took off and followed him. They said, you'll not last 2 weeks. You'll be back. And boy, they said, Rebecca, you'll never make it over. That's a long way. You ain't even never been nowhere like that. How do you even know you'll like it? And boy, the only way she knew anything was what that servant told her. He said, honey, you'll love it. Believe me. He said, when you see Isaac, you'll forget all this stuff here, and you'll just not worry about that. You come on, come on. She said, I believe you. Let's go. And boy, they began to take off over that desert. But there's one thing Rebecca didn't know, and that's how rough and how long and how hard the journey would be. No doubt she thought they'd probably be there, but dark. And boy, when they got down in there, and he started getting dark, and he said, now you sleep over here, Rebecca, and I'll sleep over here, and we'll put the camels over here around you and protect you so nothing can't happen, and I'll build a fire right here. And brother, they laid down there, and I laid Rebecca for the first time sleeping under the stars. No security from the world, no help from mom and daddy, out on her own, just her and that servant, going somewhere she had never been before. And she laid down, looked up at the stars, and boy, she began to howl second thoughts. And about that time, some went, "Ooh!" He said, "That wasn't nothing but a coyote. I don't know if that coyote is over or not. I think it might have." He said, "That's a coyote. Go to sleep." She said, "Will it get me?" He said, "No, it ain't gonna get you. I got something out here to take care of that thing." He throws his nose around here. "Go on to sleep." I can imagine many, many times. It got daylight and dark, daylight and dark, daylight and dark. Rebecca began to have doubt. Every once in a while, the servant would say, now Beck, you stay here just a minute. I'm going to go over here and gather up some sticks, and I'm going down here and see if I can't catch this little fish, something to eat, or something this, something that. I'll be back in a little bit. And there'd be an old band of robbers come by, an old big gang of thieves. They'd come by and said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm Rebecca." They said, "What are you doing out here?" "I'm on a journey." "Where are you going?" "I'm going to Abraham's house. You ever heard of him?" "Oh, you kidding me." And she said, "No, I'm going to marry his son." "You going to marry his son?" "Well, the old man died 3 or 4 years ago. Isaac ain't even alive no more." Boy, Rebecca's heart got scared. Boy, her heart began to thump. She should have never listened to them bunch of devils, no way. But she didn't know no different. Have you ever run into that crowd? Has there ever been a crowd come along and say, "You crazy, not you? There ain't no God up there in heaven. What are you talking about? There ain't no such person as God. There ain't no Jesus Christ. You're just kidding yourself." Boy, about that time, Rebecca began to cry. And she'd sit down and she'd say, "I left Mama and I left Daddy and I can't go back home now. And Abraham's dead and he's going to take me out here and kill me somewhere. And ain't no telling what, blah, blah, blah." She just went all to pieces. But about that time, that servant would come back up there. He'd say, "What's going on now with you, honey?" And she'd say, "Why didn't you tell me?" "Tell you what, that Abraham was dead and Isaac moved away and married some other girls. And I ain't never going to get to see." He said, "Who told you that junk?" "Well, them old men going down through the..." He said, "That's a bunch of liars. I'm the truth. I bear witness to the truth. You just listen to me and you'll be all right." He said, "Abraham ain't dead. God put you in this thing. You're going to get there all right." And boy, he would encourage her heart and comfort her. He was her comforter. And brother, they'd be going around a big old cliff. And she'd go, "Oh, I can't look." And boy, they'd be going around the mountain. She's from Florida. And boy, she'd be going around a big old town. And that camel would step on the edge of a cliff. And he'd put, go, and we're like, "Ah, I'm going to fall. I'll never make it." And boy, what she didn't realize was that servant had a rope tied to her camel. He said, "I ain't going to let go of you, honey. I ain't going to just run off and leave you and say, 'See you around, back and make it the best way you can.' I'm going to lead you all the way over there where Abraham is." I thank God this evening, brother, that brother, no matter what, come what may, man, you know, I can never make it alone, but bless your never dying soul. The Holy Ghost of God is in my heart this evening, in your heart you're saved. He'll take us all the way home and never leave us nor forsake us. Say, you ever been scared you wasn't going to make it? Many a time. I've laid there at night and heard the bears growl. Lions and tigers. Bears. Oh my. I've heard the religious bears. I've heard the winds of humanism blow. Be honest with me, haven't there been times when you'd really begin to wonder if we're ever going to make it or not. You know, I used to think the Lord was going to come back in 1977. I got saved in 72. I knew He'd come back in 77. And He didn't. He didn't come in 78 neither. You better hope He didn't. He didn't come in 79 or 80 or 81 or 82 or 83 or 84. You don't know how long this journey might last. I mean, we know it, we believe it's going to end soon, but never know for sure. Might have a little bit longer than you think. I can imagine many, many times. You know, I've been thinking about this. Mom and Daddy is good to me. An old boyfriend I had down the street there. You know, he wasn't Isaac, but at least I knew he was there. Maybe I'm sitting there saying, oh. Maybe I'm sitting there saying, oh. You ever felt like that? I have. I said, reckon I really done the right thing? There's been times when it's dark. He'd set her down and say, now listen. Isaac has a tent. You know them jewels you got on your hands? She said, yeah, they're beautiful. What do you think I got to them if there ain't no such person as Isaac and Abraham? Real. You're going to have a microwave oven in your tent? You're going to have ever modern convenience, air conditioned. I mean, you're going to have a buck stove, and you're going to have a two camel garage, and you're going to have everything a girl could possibly want. And buddy, you wouldn't believe Isaac. Man, does he ever know how to court? I mean, he can show you a time. He'll take you to town, boy. He'll dine you. Don't believe in drinking. And brother, he'll take you to the best restaurants, and he'll feed you. And you just wait when you fall into his arms, and it'll be glorious there. And this, and by the time he got through, man, she jumped up and grabbed her sleeping bag and rolled it up and said, "Let's go! I feel like traveling on." And brother, they begin to take off at night. You know, I thank God for those few times when we get discouraged along the way and we think there's no hope and we think it just might as well throw in the towel, that the Holy Spirit of God will come and start speaking to your heart and telling you, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burden to share. Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? We can jump up and start singing and shouting, let's go! I feel like traveling on. He said, come on, I'm trusting the unseen hand. God me through this weary life. He said, there's just one thing I want to know. How much longer is it going to be? He said, just go over the next week. We'll be home. Fourthly, night in closing, I want you to know this. The son's wedding. Not only the bride's willingness, but the son's wedding. You see, the Bible says Isaac one day, he's sitting around there and he got to wondering, where's that guy at with my bride? Ain't it about time he's getting here? Dad, that fellow you sent after my bride, is he reliable? Sure, son, it's about time for him to be here too. And he said, well, when's he coming? I put that in my power. He'll be here directly. And he said, I'm going to go out and look for him. The Bible said Isaac went out in the field to meditate at the eventide. Now you tell me, wonder what he's out there meditating about. Do you think he was out there wondering who would be the next president? And what Russia would do and communism would do? He's wondering, where's my bride? Where's my bride? What do you think Jesus in heaven tonight is thinking about? That makes us impotent, don't it? That makes us somebody, brother. And did you know the Lord up in heaven, he ain't worried about communism. He ain't worried about Russia or China or what the United Nations is going to do or what we're going to do when Reagan gets voted out. He's saying, about time my bride be here, ain't it? You know what it said? He went out. He went down there a little ways to meet her. That's right. Stepped out on a cloud there on a big old field. And about that time he looks up way off over yonder. Behold, the camels were coming. And about that time, Rebecca said, "I'm burning up. I'm about to die. I about had all this I can stand. Good night. I'm just going to backslide. I should have never started this to begin with." About that time, the servant said, look. And she said, "Who is that?" Yeah. And the servant turned around and said, "That's him. Yeah. There's the man I've been talking about. Yeah. There he is." And suddenly old Rebecca got her faith back, man. And suddenly she did feel better. And brother, she lit off that camel, four-legged camel, too slow then. She lit off that thing, began to run to meet him. And brother, just like on the old-timey, what you call it, the old Scarlett O'Hara and that old reprobate and Goldwyn, yeah. And boy, here she come running across the field, and it was in slow motion. And boy, there she went, and Isaac came out, and brother, he didn't have to say, "Hi, I'd like to introduce myself. My name's..." No, she knew him. I want to say to you this evening, glory to God, brother. Hallelujah. One of these days I shall know him. I shall know him. When redeemed by his blood, we shall stand. We'll know him when we see him. Ain't that going to be something? Well, glory. I like to just run out them back doors, brother. I think about that. I think about the trials and the tribulation and the trouble. No sorrow, no pain. Like that song you were singing about, Christ returns us, hallelujah, hallelujah. He returns us one day. Boy, he took her, went in and showed her around. The Bible said he took her and married her. Heard the story about a young man who came, moved up in the hills. Up there we have cotton mills and make cloth. Moved in up there in the Carolinas somewhere, and he got him a job working for base pay, lowest wages in the cotton mill. Just so happened that him and a young lady fell in love, and he loved her and she loved him. And all they were so in love and planned to get married. So the big day of the wedding finally came. He said, "Now, you know how the situation is?" She said, "Honey, it don't matter, a tent or a hut. Oh, why should I care? I just love you and want to be with you." He said, "Okay," and he went down to the little country church, and the preacher come out, and he performed the ceremony, nothing special. And when they got outside the door of the church, lo and behold, there sat a great big black window. Door opened and a man stood out and said, "Right this way, madam." She looked at him and said, "What is wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? We can't afford this." He said, "I'll just get in." She got in and sat in that limousine. They took off down to the airport. Boy, when they got out down there at the airport, she said, "What's going on here? I mean, you ain't got the money to afford this. We'll never be able to pay for this." The man handed them two tickets. And brother, she got on there and she said, "We'll never be able to play for you, crazy thing. Why'd you go in debt for this?" He said, "Don't worry about it. We'll live off ragweed and branch water if we have to. Just don't worry about it. Get in." They got in there and sat down on the airplane. That thing started, and on the way she punched, she said, "What are you doing, you nut? We'll never pay for this. I know you love me. You didn't have to do all this." He said, "Don't worry about it. How are we going to pay for it? We'll live off ragweed and branch water if we have to. Just don't worry about it." Pulled in out there in Texas, boy, and dropped down in Dallas or somewhere, and another big limousine pulled up. Said, "Get in." He said, "You fool, we'll be in debt the rest of our life. We'll never get it paid for. How are we going to do it?" He said, "Don't worry about it. We'll live off ragweed and branch water if we have to. Just don't worry about it. Get in." She got in that limousine. They went down there and pulled up in front of the most beautiful mansion she had ever laid eyes on in her life. He pulled up there and he said, "Now, girl, let's get out. How you like it?" She said, "You're crazy. You've lost your mind. We can't possibly..." He said, "Don't worry about it. We'll live off ragweed and branch water if we have to. Just don't worry about it." She walked in there, brother, and they opened that big door. He picked her up and carried her over the threshold and set her down and said, "Well, what do you think?" She said, I think you've lost your mind. She said, we'll never pay for this. Are you nuts? Why did you do this? She said, I demand an explanation. I said, all right, I'll tell you. She said, you see, this is where I'm from. She said, my father is a rich man, an old man. He said, he died and left me a fortune. I said, when that happened, I had more girlfriends than I know what to do with. And I know if I ever got one that really loved me, I'd have to go way off somewhere where they didn't know me. He said, you didn't know I had all this. He said, you just loved me for who I was. And when you fell in love with me, you didn't know you was going to get all this stuff. He said, I want you to know, honey, just help yourself. It all belongs to you. I'm telling you, one of these days, son, the Lord's going to snatch this little old body out of this world. He's going to take us up there, brother, and he's going to show us sights like the world has never, never seen. And we're going to go, wow! Woo! Good night! I didn't know this, Jesus. He said, you went down there and you followed me when you didn't have much. You went to school when you couldn't hardly have enough money to eat off of. He said, you tried your best to do me right and you loved me for who I was. He's just going to say, help yourself first. It all belongs to you. And bless your soul, we'll go shouting down the streets of glory, turning gainers, doing flips, shouting around the throne forever and ever, never, never, never. That's how a bride got to her wedding. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of the blessed hope. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I pray you'd make it real to every person that's here. Lord, if there's somebody here that's been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, and cause unbelief in their life, help them, Lord, to get that sin out so they can believe you and trust you once again. Lord, we're looking forward to that day. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, this old world's nothing but sorrow and sickness and pain. God, I'd just soon go on out of here tonight. Lord, you just flip the switch anytime you get ready. God, we'll be on our way home to be with you forever and ever and ever. Help us to be faithful until that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heard a couple of good messages.